What is up, guys? Welcome to the Wise and Well podcast. I'm your host, Herman Lin. This is the show that helps make fitness and nutrition way simpler and more realistic so that you can improve your physical health without sacrificing your mental health. If you're new to the show and you enjoy it, hit subscribe after the episode so that you know when future episodes come out. Also, if you are looking to take your fitness to the next level, I offer one-on-one strength and nutrition coaching that is designed to help you build muscle, burn fat, and improve your overall relationship with fitness and nutrition. Just go to wiseandwellcoaching.com to learn more. Or just shoot me a DM on Instagram at wiseandwellcoaching. I will always respond to you. All right, guys, on to the episode.
So
everyone that's listening, Sarah and I literally just talked for like 20 minutes about like just crazy deep stuff about life. So then we said we should just hit record and just see where it goes. So
I thought about hitting record right when you entered. I was like, I should just hit record. I should have done that. I literally had that thought. I was like, I feel like Herman and I always have these conversations.
We should just do that from now on. Like we should just hop on and just hit it.
Just hit record and start talking.
I think where we ended off was the idea that you can't be happy until you get somewhere. Yeah. Right. And you were talking about a conversation you were having today. So why don't you mention that and then let's talk about it.
Well, I think maybe to give context behind what we were talking about regarding Herman and I were talking back and forth about our businesses and kind of how we're feeling and how life has been really crazy recently. And honestly, just getting on this podcast and recording this together has taken a lot of trial and error because our schedules have been just so wacky with Herman and his corporate job, with me and pregnancy and traveling and just like so many, me just feeling like my brain is fried sometimes. And finally we hop on this podcast and we're just kind of talking about our businesses, our social media, and how, what we value. And, Herman brought up a point of like how sometimes in the business aspect of things, it's easy to get caught up in that whole idea behind like, I will be happy when when this happens, or I will be happy when I can finally, for you, what you're saying is like the idea of like going off my full-time job and be able to make enough money where I can do coaching business full-time. Like I will be happy when that. And I think it's interesting because I've definitely fallen into that too of like, oh, I will be happy when I reach this many followers, or I will be happy when I reach this many clients, or I will be happy when I make this much revenue. And I think that it can relate so much to fitness too, which is funny because I was just telling you I had a call with a client right before this and we were talking about the idea behind, you know, I will be happy when I achieve this body composition or this body goal, or when I fit into this size of pants. And it's an interesting concept because I don't think that's the case. I don't think you will be happier then. And I think it also kind of makes me what I was talking with her about is where does happiness come from? You know, does happiness come from an outcome? Does happiness come from what we want? What's really cool about happiness is we can define what that means, and we can be happy now if we want to. That doesn't necessarily mean you love every part of your life. That doesn't mean you necessarily don't want to achieve anymore. And I think a lot of people fear that because, and I'll say that I fear that sometimes in my business of like, can I find contentment right now? Because that means if I find contentment, does that mean I'm going to stop growing in my business? I don't think that's the case. I don't think that has to be the case. I think both can coexist of like, I can be content where I'm at, but also have the desire to continue to grow and continue to change. I think the same can be with your body composition goals. Because in reality, sorry, I'm totally rambling right now. In reality, I was also having this conversation with my husband the other day. In reality, I think that the growth, the happiness, the accomplishments, the confidence, like as cliche as this sounds, like those things are gained in the process of your growth. They're not gained from the outcome. And so I think we get so caught up in the outcome because a lot of times once you achieve that outcome, that goalpost has already changed. It's already moved. Yeah. It has its pros and cons.
It always will. It'll always move, right? Like, I think it's only amplified by the world we live in now because we look at social media all the time, right? Yeah. And so you're always going to see something else you can get. And I think that's like one of the hardest conversations I have with clients all the time is, you know, the idea of like what's next, because in their head, it's always like there needs to be something else, even if they're crushing it, right? Like they're getting stronger every week. They've made body composition improvements. They feel healthy. They go to restaurants. They don't worry about food, all these things. Like it's still like, well, what am I missing though? And like, I think the scariest answer is maybe you're not missing anything, right? Like maybe it's okay to just be happy right now. But what's his name? Brad Stolberg. I hope I'm not butchering that. Master Habits guy. But he has that like Master of Habits book.
Okay.
I'm completely butchering that, but he had like some really good posts the other day that was basically like talking about this exact thing in the what I can't remember what it's called, like the fallacy of outcome or whatever, where like basically the whole idea that once you reach this point you'll be happy and it's not true. But he had this really cool post that basically said that we as humans have been wired to be like this. Like if you think about from like the beginning of time, the people who were always striving to be better, to always like do more, survived, right? The people who were complacent didn't. And ever since then, it's like, we're the ancestors of all the people that survived all this over and over and over again, right? So like, the reality is like, it's literally wired into our brain to believe we don't have enough.
Yeah.
Like we're always going to be chasing more because that's just how humans have survived for thousands and thousands of years. And so like, you have to be able to understand that. And I have this conversation a lot with new clients. It's like, it's amazing. This, it's like almost the same repetitive story over and over again. Somebody will hit me up. We'll get on a call to talk about, you know, whether they're a good fit for coaching or not. And, you know, we usually start, I'm just like, hey, just tell me about it. Like, what's your story, right? And there, a lot of times it's like, well, you know, I grew up and, you know, life got crazy as I became an adult and I didn't really prioritize my health. And I just got busier and busier and busier. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I need to lose a lot of weight. And, you know, over the last 2 years, like I really started actually, you know, focusing on eating better and working out. And I made a lot of changes and I've lost like 60 pounds in the last 2 years. And so now I'm just like at this point where I feel like I'm kind of like getting stuck and, you know, I don't know what workouts to do and what I should eat. And I feel like I like really need some help with like losing another 20 and all these things. I'm like, okay, can we just stop though? You lost 60 pounds in 2 years? Like, yeah. I'm like, you're doing pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's like the first thing I always do is just have that moment of reframe where, okay, we can proceed. We can like, you want to lose another 20 pounds? Awesome. You want to get stronger, build some muscle? Cool. Let's do it. But like, can we stop and acknowledge that we're doing this not because you're fixing yourself? Right? We're doing this because you're just taking the next level up.
Yeah.
And those are two completely, completely different things. And I think that applies to like everything. And I try, like I say all these things and I'm so terrible at doing this in my own life. Right? Because it's the same exact thing. It's like we have to be able to sit here and be like, it's okay to keep growing, but there's no magical aha, like I did it moment. Like we do it all the time. Totally. And we have to be able to like actually appreciate that.
Well, it's interesting. You even think about like bikini competitors or like body composition, bodybuilders that go on stage. Like they go on stage and a lot of them, I mean, a lot of us look at them and think like, oh, they have the prime. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are like, nah, I don't really care to have that physique. But just taking them for an example, because they are very shredded. They're very ripped. And a lot of times they don't even feel satisfied where they're at.
Yeah.
And I think it like, it just goes to show, I was talking to this client, how I remember hearing this study one time about how obese people lost a lot of weight thinking that they'd feel a certain way. And they actually felt more sad once they lost a lot of weight because they thought they'd feel a certain way when they didn't. Yeah. And so the effort and the work that they had put in, they felt frustrated because they didn't feel the way that they expected themselves to feel. So it's really interesting. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, is like, where's that balance of, you know, having goals, working towards those goals, but not setting the expectations of how you're going to feel when you achieve that, because it, essentially, if you don't feel that way, that doesn't mean you weren't successful. That doesn't mean that you're a failure. And in reality, like, we control our feelings. We don't always control our thoughts, but we can control how we feel about those thoughts. And so if that's the case, then how you want to feel, you can create that reality right now if you allow yourself to. But I think that, I think a lot of people fear that. They fear feeling the way that they want to feel in the present moment because they think, but if I allow myself to feel that way right now, then that means I won't achieve X goal. So they keep themselves in that feeling of feeling frustrated, of feeling sad, or feeling bothered because they believe that will be their driving motivator. If that.
Totally. And that's, I think you have to ask yourself, like, you have to ask yourself so many questions. I mean, number one, you have to ask yourself, why do you even want that goal? Right. Yeah. Like, because that, to your point, I think that's the idea that people say, I will feel healthy once I lose that weight, and then they don't feel health, or they don't feel happy, right, once they lose the weight. Like, it's, you have to be able to understand, like, okay, well, why did you want to lose in the first place? Like, why did you think you were going to be happy at that moment? Is it because you felt like you were going to be a lot healthier, right? Like, you could be able to walk easier and be less tired and all those things. Like, okay, well, those things should probably happen, right? If you lost a lot of weight. Or is it because you thought you're going to get way more compliments from other people and take amazing Instagram pictures and look like a lot of the influencers you see online, right? Because the reality is, like, that's probably not going to happen. Like, you're probably not going to hear from that many people. Like, maybe at first, like, oh, look, hey, you look great. But, like, it's not going to be like you're going to be walking around everywhere and all of a sudden, like, everyone's going to, you know, a lot of it has to come from internal and has to come from a place of, you know, you're doing this because you want to, like, it sounds so cheesy, but it's like you're doing this because you want to feel better. And so to me, that's why I try to focus on, like, my clients, like, we'll set the goal, right? Like, if, hey, I want to lose 10 pounds. Okay, like, let's have that overarching goal. And, like, you know, it's not like I try to convince them, don't ever have these goals, right? Don't ever lose weight. Like, no, if you want to lose, like, I think number one as a coach, we don't get to judge their goals, right? Like, if you want to lose weight, unless I see that, like, hey, you are not in a good place right now, mental wise and health wise, like, that is not a good idea. I'll tell you that. But, like, you want to lose weight? Let's do it. Right? Like, here's a calorie deficit. Here's your target. Let's work on it. But then I feel like most of the time what we focus on is the process goals, right? On getting more protein on your plate, getting more whole foods on your plate. A lot of times it's like, also, I really, really want them to think about, how do you feel after you ate your meal, right? Like, did that food make you feel better or did it make you feel worse? That usually ends up, like, it makes it a much easier to make good decisions around food, right? And same thing with, like, that's why I love strength training as a piece of fat loss in general, because it gives you a focus on a daily basis when results aren't coming as fast as you want. It's, you can go into the gym every time and try to put up more weight, which feels really good, right? Like, I got a PR today. That always feels great, even if you don't look in the mirror and see something. So it's like, you have to be able to find and define wins in the everyday process rather than holding on hope that this long-term goal down the road is going to fix everything.
Totally.
Also, is that a bunk bed behind you?
Yeah.
Really?
My husband and I, our house was, there's three units in our house. We Airbnb the top, and then we're out in California. We Airbnb the bottom, where we live. So this bunk bed was for the Airbnb, which is convenient for obviously families that come and stay here.
Got it. I thought you guys just like to pretend like you're little kids sometimes and just like do like a sleepover thing.
When we're mad at each other, we just sleep on
top. Yeah. You had to sleep in the top bunk tonight.
Yeah, he's up there. I'm on the bigger one. This is a fold. Just kidding. But it's interesting. A thought that I had from that too, and I guess another thing that I was talking to my client on this call is also redefining. You know, you talked a lot about focusing on process goals and not outcome goals. I totally agree with you, because I think so many times we do get so focused on the outcome that we never allow ourselves to celebrate the process in which the process, because essentially if the goalpost is always changing, if the outcome is always changing, then we're setting ourselves up. You know, I think it's okay. We're setting ourselves up for failure, but in the sense that it's okay to also set outcome goals, because you need an outcome goal in order to set process goals. So an outcome goal, it's not that an outcome goal is bad. An outcome goal is really good, but process goals are going to get us there. And it's important to celebrate those process goals and recognize that a lot of the times that outcome goal is going to change eventually. And that's okay. Yeah. But it's where does our focus go? But I think something that was really interesting that I was talking to my client about too is, you know, the idea behind progress and what do we define as progress. And I think so many times we define progress as, you know, losing weight, as fitting in smaller clothes, and you know, all of these outcome things, which aren't necessarily bad things. Like, it's okay to be excited about a lower number on the scale. It's okay to be excited about fitting in a smaller pair of jeans. I think those things are totally valid. But if that's our only form of defining progress, again, we're trapping ourselves into a box. And I think that if we really want to see progress, we need to redefine, what does progress look like? What does that mean? What do we want that to mean? Because in my client's scenario, she was sick 1 week. So she was feeling like, I can't do all the things that I want to do, which is holding me back from making progress. But I'm like, but what if progress that week, what if we redefine what progress looks like that week? Maybe progress that week is resting. Maybe progress that week is not tracking your macros every day. Maybe that progress that week is not going to the gym because you're adding more stress on your body. And essentially, like, long term, maybe that's not progress. So I think like redefining or expanding your view on what does it mean to progress and achieve your goals? And that might look different on a day to day, on a week to week, on a month to month, depending on the season of life you're in, depending on your physical state, depending on your health, everything.
I think a really like important part too, like I'm going back to our conversation before we hit record too, is just like your goal shouldn't be like this singular thing. It should be, how does this impact your life? Like, what do you want your life to be? Yeah. Right. Because of this goal. And I think that was when we were talking about, like we had brought up the idea of, you know, growing this business to be like, you know, a six figure business that we're doing this full time and all these things. And it's like, it sounds really cool. Right. But also you had to weigh in like what that means for life and how busy you are and how much time do you have for family and, you know, financial security, like all those things matter a lot. And I think of weight loss, like a weight loss goal is very similar, that, you know, okay, like it's weird that we even say, my goal is to lose 20 pounds. Why don't we say my goal is to lose and keep off 20 pounds? Because those are completely different things. Right. And if your goal is only to lose 20 pounds, like what, you don't care if it comes back, right? And then like going further, okay, my goal is to lose 20 pounds and like be able to go to restaurants with my kids and not worry about studying the menu for 2 hours, right? Or going to the gym 5 days a week to be able to maintain those 20 pounds off, right? Like, what do you actually want your life to look like when you lose those 20 pounds? Because the reality is this: one, it just takes way longer to do that than what people think. Like, if you want to lose 20 pounds, best case scenario, it's going to take 20 weeks, right? Like, I mean, maybe faster if you're like really, really good at this. But like, that's a realistic scenario, right? Maybe even longer, honestly. probably longer, unless you're perfect, unless you're really good every week. So are the things that you're doing, are they enjoyable enough and sustainable enough to last that long, right? And then the bigger question is, once you get there, like, I'm not saying your diet when you are in a calorie deficit needs to look exactly like what it is in maintenance, but it's got to be pretty close, right? Because otherwise, when you get there, what do you think is going to happen if you just start eating the same way? If you cut out all carbs and that's the only way you lost 20 pounds, are you ready to never eat carbs again, right? Or are you just hoping that when you reintroduce them, you're just going to somehow magically stay at this new weight? And so, like, I think when you think about what the overall goal is, like, you need to be able to, like, paint, like, what do I actually want my life to be like? And now let's think of the process that creates that life. And wherever you kind of shake out with that end goal, you shake out.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think that it's what you're talking about is the whole idea of, like, figuring out what do you value in life and how do you align your goals with that? Because I think a lot of people think about, you know, I want to lose 20, 30, 40 pounds and keep that off. But they don't think about, well, what are the trade-offs that come with that? What does the life look like that would require achieving that goal? And for some people, that's that life, living that life is exactly what they want. That's what they value. And that's great. That's great for them to recognize that. But for a lot of people, they're like, well, that might mean you need to give up X, Y, and Z. And if that's worth it to you, then that's great. If it's not worth it to you, then that's okay. Let's just adjust your goal a little bit. Maybe that looks like only losing 10 pounds because maybe that's more sustainable for you to keep off. Or maybe that's switching your goal a little bit, just changing the focus so that you can align with your goals and value. And I think that, at least for me, for years, I just felt like I kept banging my head on a wall because I had these extreme goals. And I was kept asking myself, like, why is it so hard for me to achieve these goals? But in reality, it's because I didn't love living a life that it required to achieve those goals. And, you know, I think it's also important to say that maybe, like, I think that your values and your goals change throughout your life. There might be seasons that you are able to have those sacrifices or make those trade-offs. And that's great. And there's also seasons that you might not be able to, and that's okay too. I think extreme goals are fine, as long as you're in the right headspace and have the right expectations that go along with that.
Yeah, 100%. And to your point, like, I think it has to change. I think what's so hard is that while you're in it and, like, you have a specific goal in your head of, like, this is the thing that I'm doing, right? It's so hard to, like, convince yourself that's not the thing.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, I flash back to, like, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, where I was just like, I was just so convinced that, like, clean eating it's like everything. Like, you just got to eat clean, right? Like, when you go in the grocery store, like, you got to check all the labels and, like, make sure that, like, hey, like, is there more than 5 ingredients in this thing? You know, is there seed oils in there? Is there how much added sugar is in there? And, like, all these things. And it's honestly crazy. It's almost like PTSD to think back to those days of, like, walking out of the grocery store, just, like, physically riddled with anxiety because I just spent so much time, like, analyzing every single decision I made of whether it's, like, good or bad. Right.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because one, I don't even think it's like, I don't even think that that's, like, needed to be healthy in the first place. I think there's some, like, I think you should prioritize mostly, you know, whole nutrient dense foods. Like, I think that's important to get. I think lean proteins, all those things. But, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with buying some packaged foods and having that in your house. Like, I just don't think that's going to, like, be the end of the world. Now, if that's, like, 80% of your diet, it's probably going to be a lot harder to stay healthy, right? But this idea of, like, clean eating is, like, it creates more anxiety, I think, than good a lot of the times, because it's unnecessarily extreme, I think, is basically the point of it. But it took me a long time to, like, break out of that and to say, like, it's hey, you don't need to do this. Like I, it would, there were stages, like there was literally stages where I was like, you're just going to eat this thing. Right. Yeah. And then it was like, you're just going to buy the thing that has seed oils. It's okay. And that took a long time, but now I feel like on the other side of it, one, my health is not any worse. If anything, it's better than it was 5 years ago, because like, I feel like I've added so many other good things. I stopped focusing on just like avoiding things, right? And started focusing on adding a bunch of good stuff into my life, like strength training and eating more protein and eating more nutrient dense foods. And like all the other stuff is like, it just kind of comes and goes, and like, I don't worry about it. But two, it's crazy that like back then, like that was literally like an entire model of life for me. And now I barely even think about it.
Yeah. That's super interesting. I think it's important to note that, what you're saying too, is like, it took you a long time to get to a place where you're at right now. And who knows, you might look back in 5 years from now and be like, Herman 5 years ago, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so many times we get stuck in the idea of, you know, I need to be this way now, or I need to overcome this now. But like with your idea of clean eating, it took time to overcome some of those things. It took time to break through some of those beliefs and some of those habits. And it took work too. It took mm-hmm. tons of work. And I think sometimes the idea behind like, oh, this is a lot of work, this is super hard, is frightening to people. But essentially, like, but the outcome from that is so worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. And 5 years from now, I definitely am going to look back at this and be like, I can't believe I was eating packaged foods. Like, it is all about clean eating.
Yeah, totally. Which I think that's okay. That's just how evolution works. That's how growth works. And that's, if anything, I would say like, that's probably a good thing. However it ends up changing. But I think that, you know, the people who I trust the most are people who can look back and be like, I was wrong about that. You know, I said this before, I said this years ago, and I no longer agree with what I said years ago. Like, I really respect people that admit to stuff like that. It's people who have been set in their ways for 10 years plus, like those people who are still saying shock your body, do certain exercises, shock your body, and they also said that 10 years ago. I'm like, have you not done research recently? So it's like, anyways, I think there's a lot to say about a person who is willing to change their beliefs and willing to challenge their perspectives constantly, always. Yeah.
Okay, that brings up a very good point. Do you feel like there's anything that you have changed your perspective on, like even recently, like even in the last like couple of years, that you feel like before you were very much one direction and now you're kind of at least like thinking about it or completely the other way?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. What's coming to my head right now?
Yes.
Like, sometimes it's actually scary talking about some of these things, because it's like, I would say my perspective around macro tracking has changed. I think when I first started my business, macro tracking was like the one and only way. And that's what, and I will start by saying, like, I still think macro tracking is great. I think I use it with probably most of my clients, but I think that there's other ways to see results. I don't think macro tracking is for everybody. And I think that some people actually would benefit from not tracking their macros. I think that a lot of people would benefit from tracking their macros. So I think that's something that I've kind of changed my mind of, is like the ideas behind understanding what macros are is important. But I think something that I've kind of tried to even just change within my business, and I hope this comes clear with my content as well, because I've been trying to implement this more, is trying to bridge the gap between like macro tracking and mindful eating. Because I think that I think there needs to be a gap to that bridge. And I feel like that's something I've kind of changed my mind on, is macro tracking is not the one and only way. It's a way, but it's not for everybody, and that's okay. And there needs to be other tools in place too. So I'd say that's something that I've kind of maybe not changed my mind completely on, but I've just expanded my perspective, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I think that one's hard because, you know, like, I think there's, in general within nutrition, there's like this whole, it's like the evidence-based space, right? Like, we understand tracking macros and tracking calories, it works. Like, it's just like, just if you just do this, like, it works, right? It works.
Yes.
But then there's like, what you leave out is the human aspect.
Yeah.
The behavior side, right? And I'm the same exact way. Like, I don't ever lie that my clients that have the most success, they track like most of the time, right? Yep. And they're very diligent with it. They're the people that they go on a trip to Mexico and I'm like, don't track. Do not track for 7 days. You're fine, right? Because they're like, so it's so ingrained in them. And they're like, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to eat if I don't put it in my app. I'm like, yes, you do. You're fine. And, but it's like those people have the most success. And I think that's okay to say that, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean though that you can't have some success or slower success, right? Or doing it a different way.
Yeah. And I'd also challenge that in a sense of like, well, how does that person want to define success? You know, because success can also have multiple definitions. So it's like, you know, yes, if we define success as potentially faster progress, potentially better, you know, better results, better body recomposition, more accuracy, because of that, like, yes, the clients who track are usually the ones who see more of that kind of success. But if success for somebody is like, you know, they don't want to have to, they want to see results, but logging and tracking and weighing out their food feels so exhausting for them, that those feelings might not bring feelings of success. So for them, success might be different. But then, yeah, I totally agree with everything you're saying. There's always a like, but we could also think about it this way too. You know, what does it mean for something to work? Also, it's like, what, even though macro tracking works on a physiological or psychological side of things, maybe it's not working, even though their body's changing. Maybe it's not essentially getting them to where they want to be. But I also agree with you, you know, from a physical standpoint, tracking macros gives us the best data. It gives us the best understanding of results. And some people like that. I like that. You know, postpartum, I'll probably track my macros because I like I like the data. I like being specific. If I have a goal, I want to know exactly like I am getting there and tracking macros. But that's because tracking macros doesn't feel mentally fatiguing to me. It did for a little bit. Mm-hmm. It did in the past, and I had to work on that. But
I think I've shifted. Yeah. So this perspective, like, I've tried to look at what the bigger picture is, right? And the reality, like, there's tracking macros or tracking calories, and we think of that as like, okay, you weigh and measure your food every day and then you put it into this app, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's when you back that up and like zoom out 1,000 feet, 10,000 feet, right? What you're doing is managing calories, and that's a tool to do it, right? Yeah. So the question is, are there other tools to do it that is more enjoyable and sustainable for people who don't like weighing their food and putting it into an app, right? And so like, that's where I've kind of started playing around with some people that like that's what I've noticed is some people, they genuinely like enjoy it more when they are tracking, right? Yeah. Like they're like, it's like they feel more in control and it feels good to them to be doing this thing. Where some people, like, it is utter anxiety to like have to think about doing this, or they're just like super busy, right? And they're like, it's like, oh, it's just another thing. Like I hired you to like try to help me like make my life easier, right? And you're like asking me to do all. And so like, even the idea of, okay, well, can you use like hand portions, right? Like, and structure it out of saying, okay, lunch, dinner, breakfast, we're going to eat during those times. We're going to try to minimize grazing outside of that. We're going to have 2 palm-sized portions of protein. two fist-sized portions of vegetables and two, you know, cup-sized portions of carbs, right? And like, can we use that as a roadmap every day? And like, some people do better with that because they're like, it's almost like a training plan to them. Right? Yeah. It's like, oh, cool. I know exactly what I need to do. And it's less about like the in the moment decision of like, oh, I got to record this now and put it in the app. So it's like, there's multiple ways to do it. But at the end of the day, like if you want to make changes, you need some way that's going to measure your progress.
Yeah, totally. Totally agree. My last podcast, one of the podcasts that I just did with Danny, who her username is Minded My Macros. We talked about like the idea behind tracking your macros and how, tracking your food and how there's not, you know, when we think about tracking your food, we think about exactly what you said, you know, scanning the label, weighing it out, logging in MyFitnessPal, which you can track your food. There's multiple ways to track your food. That's not the only way. You can track your food by pictures. You can track your food by taking note of it. You can track your food through hand portions, like you were saying. You can track your food in so many different ways. It's not, there's not just one way to do it. I think the best and the best way to do it, one, I think depends on you, depends on what feels most sustainable to you. And it also depends on what's your goal. You know, what's your goal and what might be the best tool to use that? And is that worth it to you? Is that a trade-off you're willing to make?
And what are you trying to accomplish with this goal? Because I think that's the other thing that is so important with tracking, that yes, it makes it more precise, right? And now, like in the terms of someone who's being a bodybuilder, you need every degree of precision, right? And like, so like everything is going to be measured out all the time to hit these exact macros and calories, where someone like, it's if you're like, hey, I just need to make some big lifestyle changes. Well, to me, what tracking does is more so, one, it teaches you about portion sizes when you've never really done that before. Like it's eye opening, right? And then two, it creates awareness. And awareness is a very, very powerful thing when you're like, my biggest problem is not that like I don't know what protein is. My biggest problem is that I eat a bag of chips after dinner every night because I'm stressed, right? And so like having that, then you realize like, okay, well, do I need to measure every single thing? Or like, is it even helpful for me to like just have a food journal and just write it down, right? So that like I'm actually conscious of what I'm eating. And the same thing, like even there was actually a study that showed that when people even just tracking 3 days a week, so 3 out of 7 days, they still lost like 10 pounds or something over like a course. I can't remember how many weeks, but it basically showed like you don't need to go all in of like 7 days. I'm tracking every single thing. Just being more aware a few days a week even is still really, really helpful and beneficial. So I think that's like the other thing is the same thing as working out, right? Like you don't need, you know, like ideally, like, yeah, you'd have 4 days, two uppers, two lowers. That'd be awesome. But also maybe that doesn't work in your life. And maybe like 2 full body days is going to be just fine. Like maybe your results will be a little bit slower, but you're still making progress. It's still better than nothing. Right. Yeah,
totally. I think it's important to recognize that in order to make a change, you need to bring awareness to whatever needs to be changed. And without awareness, you can't. And I think that's why a lot of people like the idea of tracking macros. Me, I'm also raising my hand. Again, remember, I enjoy it. Maybe that might change in the future too. But if I have a specific goal, I like tracking my macros. I like tracking my food. But I think that's why a lot of people like tracking and they feel more quote unquote on track when they're tracking their macros is because tracking forces them to bring that awareness to their food choices. But for someone who's wanting to make changes and not track their macros, a lot of times what happens, like I've had certain clients who don't track, who might not track one day and like their eating looks way different. And it's simply just because the awareness wasn't there anymore. And I think that awareness is also a skill, is potentially a skill that needs to be developed. If you're not tracking, then you need awareness somehow. And that doesn't have to even be through pictures or logging your food or tracking your food or whatever.
that's where, you know, intuitive eating comes into place, or I like to call it more like intentional eating or mindful eating. Like, mindfulness is awareness. And if you want to have good eating habits outside of just tracking your food, you need to bring awareness somehow. And that's a whole nother skill that needs to be developed, just like tracking macros is a skill that needs to be developed. But essentially, like, I just think it's important to say that awareness brings, like, you need, if you want to change, you need to bring awareness to whatever that is that needs to be changed.
Yeah. And that is the important thing, is like, you need to still have some kind of system, whatever it is. Cause like, I would say, like, I am someone who does not enjoy tracking, and like, I never, ever have. Like, I'm just a person where like, it just makes me more anxious, cause I'm just like constantly thinking about, okay, what, like, it just makes me think about food all the time.
Yeah.
And it always has, like, no matter, even if I don't like have necessarily a goal, like if it's like, even if I'm just staying in maintenance, like, it's just like the idea of it, for some reason, like, it's, that's just who I am. And but at the same time, like, I also am very formulaic with my meals. Like, I always have 3 meals a day. I always have a protein portion. I always have a carb portion. I always have a veggie portion. And like, that's like 90% of my days that I do that. So like, I know pretty much exact, and I have tracked in the past, right? Like, I've even if it's like a week at a time here, a week at a time there, like, I almost use them as like food audits to be like, okay, how many calories am I taking in? Right. And like, what is the portion of this? Cause even like doing this for so long, like, I still will measure, and like, I'll still like measure protein sometimes on a scale, you know, like, it's kind of like haphazardly, like almost like creating awareness. Like you said, like, over time, like, I keep reminding myself, this is what a portion of protein looks like. This is what this, and like, and I really don't snack outside of those. Like, maybe I'll have like a bite of beef jerky, like, in between meals, but like, that's just my method of how it works best for me. Right. Like, for somebody else, that might be a terrible method. And they need to like understand what the actual calories are, and they need to track. And so like, I think it's cool that like, we're both sitting here with completely different ways of what works for us. Right.
Totally. I'm so glad you brought that up of like, I love your honesty of saying like that you don't like tracking macros. Cause I think a lot of people are going to resonate with that. I even had clients that are like, you know, they like tracking because they like the data, but at the same time, they don't like tracking because it makes them think about food more, and it makes them more anxious. And I think that's totally valid. And I think you brought up a really great point that like, if you don't want to take that route, but you still want, you know, to feel good and have good eating habits, having some type of system in place is so important. And I honestly, like, for me, like, I like tracking my macros, but I haven't tracked since maybe last August. And I would say my system is pretty similar in the sense of like having certain meal times just out of habit. That's just, you know, I wake up, I have my morning snack, I go to the gym, I have my breakfast, and then I have my lunch later on, and then maybe I'll have another snack if I'm hungry, and then I'll have dinner. And then if I feel like a dessert, I'll have a dessert too. And that's, you know, for some people that's like, that's a lot, but for me, that's my system. And, and then with that too, it's like in each of my meals, I love that you brought up like making sure building my plate around protein and making sure there's carbs in there. Usually there's a fat in there, and making sure there's fiber in there, because that system, you know, allows me to feel good. It allows me to feel my best. And so I think finding that system takes trial and error. So there's like, try things, for anyone listening to this, like, try things out, try that out, try what works best for you. Kind of see how you like to eat right now. How many meals a day do you like to eat? How many snacks a day do you like to eat? And then essentially just, you know, try and cover the bases with each meal if possible, the protein, carb, and fat, fiber.
And even coming from a person who like just talked about how I hate tracking, like, I would say it is valuable for everyone to do it at least short term, at least one time, and probably multiple times. But like, you know, like, it doesn't have to be like you're going to do this from now on, but we, all those things we just talked about, right? Like, here's my protein, here's, how do you even know what that stuff is if you've never like tracked and actually understand, you know, like, what, like, in your head it's like, well, what are beans, right? Is that a carb? Is that like, it's like once you see like, oh, okay, well, yeah. So that's, that actually has some protein in it too. And, but it also has some carbs. So that could kind of be like my carb side, but then give me some additional protein. It's like, how are you ever going to do that? Right. If you haven't like tracked in the past, but then, so it's like that idea of intuitive eating is amazing, but it is like, it's definitely more of an advanced skill, right? For like sure. It's the place that you want to get to. But I think like saying this is like, it's hopefully this gives people hope that like, I've gotten to this place and I have never like tracked for more than a couple weeks at a time. You know, like I've done it multiple times and it's helped me learn a lot, but you don't have to like necessarily do it continuously all the time. But I do think there's definitely value in doing it at least every once in a while.
I totally agree with you. And I say that's why whenever someone is tracking, like one of my biggest tips, if you're tracking your macros right now, when I say tracking your macros, like however you are tracking, like one of the biggest things that I advise people to do is be intentional with your tracking. And what do I mean by that is like, don't just log and track your food and press the check mark and call it good. Like really observe, you know, when you do log those beans, how much fiber, carbs, and fat and protein is in that serving of beans. And what does that, you know, what does, if you logged 100 grams of beans, what does 100 grams of beans look like? Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, how much carbs are in that? How much protein is in that? How much fiber is in that? And that's all information and knowledge that you're giving yourself by through tracking your macros. Now, I will say, I totally agree. I'm biased. For me, I gained all this knowledge from tracking my macros. I think you can gain it without tracking your macros. It just takes a little bit longer and it really takes even more intentionality because you got to look at all the nutrition labels and it's a little bit harder. But I think, you know, again, I think I'm biased. I think tracking is great because, for example, I just made a post the other day that talked about how 2 eggs is not enough protein, where for a lot of people, they don't know that until they start tracking their macros and realize that 1 egg only has 6 grams of protein in it. So if you're only eating 2 eggs in your breakfast, that's 12 grams of protein. That is not enough protein. But a lot of people don't have that awareness. They don't have that knowledge until... and a lot of times they gain that knowledge through tracking because some, you know, unless you're looking at the nutrition label or looking it up online of eggs about, or everything that you're eating. But yeah, I agree with you. I think that, I think tracking every now and then can be a really great thing. I'm trying not to be like too generalized on it of like everyone needs to do it because I do think there's probably a small pool of people who can do it other ways. But
I think at the end of the day, you have to have a system to manage calories, right? Like, I think it just goes back to that. And like, whether it's tracking, whether it's, you know, having enough experience to be able to intuitively eat, like all those things, like I think are viable options. But like, if you're going to, I'm not even saying to lose weight, like I think even just like maintaining weight, you know, I think the reality is like, you have to somehow understand over time, like, how do I know how many calories I'm eating and is it increasing or decreasing? And if you're someone that's like, you know, I think it's different for people. Like some people, like they just have stayed thin their whole lives.
Yeah.
Right. And it's, they're the ones that like, you're like, hey, dude, you got to eat. And like, that's you, like, that's, you're fortunate, right? For other people, like, it's not the case. That's, you have to be much more mindful. So I think just understanding too, like, what type of person are you? Are you someone that tends to eat everything that's on your plate, right? Like, are you someone that tends to kind of skip the meal and like, you know, you don't really care about the protein. So it's like you put on your plate, but then you eat everything else around it. Like understanding like what are your biggest opportunities, at least like maybe you can narrow down what the focus is. So it's less of this like giant thing of like, I got to track everything all the time and just kind of like, no, like maybe this is just what I need to focus on for a little bit, this one piece.
Yeah, totally.
I don't even know what that ramble was. I feel like I just like talked about something completely different.
I feel like this whole podcast has just been a random ramble. Hopefully people caught on. Hopefully people, if anything, this is probably good for me and you. I don't know. Sometimes Graham talking about different stuff is, I love conversations like this. So I'm really curious if anyone resonated with anything or learned anything, or
if anyone's still listening, this is amazing because Sarah and I came on here with, it literally says at the top, the title, to talk about groceries. The whole idea was that we were going to talk about how we go grocery shopping. And then all of a sudden this just happened instead the last 50 minutes, which is amazing.
Oh, I'm dying. That's hilarious. The title is Herman Groceries.
So I guess next time we'll probably have to talk about groceries instead.
Yeah, if you wanted to talk about groceries, let us know. If you like these rambles too, though, again, if you're still listening, let us know.
This reminds me a little bit of like the I don't know if you ever listened to the Jordan Syed, Mike Vacanti podcast. Oh, yeah. This shout out to those guys, because that podcast is amazing and it's hilarious. But it's like I listened to that thing for like an hour and I'm like, I don't know if they like actually gave any piece of advice over the last 60 minutes, but it was awesome. Like it's just like entertaining more than anything.
Honestly, some of my favorite conversations are just like those random conversations with just thoughts. And I don't know, like something I was talking to someone yesterday about was like, one of my favorite things to do with my husband is just have deep conversations just about our thoughts and our feelings. Yeah. And honestly, with anybody, I love just like deep. That's probably why I love coaching too, because I have these deep conversations with my clients and I'm like, I love this. So honestly, podcasts like this are really fun for me. So if people enjoy it, please let us know. We would be happy to do more. And it was easier too, because we didn't really have to plan anything. We're just like,
yeah,
record. All right, how are you doing, Herman?
or we just keep doing them, right? And then whoever wants to listen to them sticks around.
Totally. I guess I'll just watch my Buzzsprout data, my download data, and see.
Yeah, we're gonna look at this and be like, oh shit, we lost everybody at minute 13.
I get like a fourth of the downloads. That would be funny. Yeah. But
if anything, I guess if we can leave everybody with one lesson from the last hour of us rambling, is don't take life too seriously. And remember to just like slow down and just reflect a little bit. And it doesn't have to, you know, it doesn't have to always be this super serious fitness and food attitude. And sometimes you just gotta just like live in the moment.
I love that. Wait, I want to say one more thing. I want to share an experience of something that made me think of that. I was in Hawaii on a baby moon this last week with my husband, and I feel like something that I actually struggle with is feeling like I constantly need to be like learning, constantly feeling like I need to be listening to podcasts, or if not, listening to music and meditating. Like I almost have this issue of like, I just feel like I always need to be learning. And if I'm just sitting and being, that I almost feel unproductive and like I'm doing something wrong. But something that I had this experience in Hawaii, where I went and laid in these tide pools, and I kept having, it was by myself. My husband was taking a nap. It was like right in front of the house that we were staying at, these really pretty tide pools. And I went down there. I was like, maybe I should play a meditation so I can like meditate in here, or like maybe I should play some music. And I had this feeling of like, just chill and be like, just live, just be here. And it was a really interesting experience for me, where I was like, I just need to be, just need to not worry about learning anything right now, listening to anything right now, and just like feel the sand. And it sounds so woo woo and cheesy, but I don't know. It made me think of that, what you just said, and also putting it out there that that's something that I'm actually still working on too, is like just living my life and being.
Dude, I am so happy that you said that. I feel like that has happened to me so often lately. Cause I'm the same exact way, where like I'm always doing something that's like, I guess, trying to like progress almost. Yeah. It's like, if I'm not working on something, then I wake up in the morning, I'll check my Instagram and see if there's any comments or anything I need to like answer. And then it's like, I go for a walk, and then I immediately put in like, look for a podcast I could put on as I'm walking. And then it's like there's never a free moment. Like at every second, I'm like, okay, what else can I consume right now that makes me better? Right. Yeah. And it's like, what I've started trying to do is understand, like, I just have this feeling where like, I just feel heavier because I'm just overloaded. right? Yeah. Like there's just too much of everything. And in that moment, like if I'm walking and I have a podcast in and all I'm thinking in my head is like, oh, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like if I'm like barely even listening and hearing a word of it, then I know immediately, like I've gone and switched to music. And even that was too much at one point. Like I was like, just dude, why do you have to have something in your ear?
Yeah.
Just like listen to the birds, like go for a walk, just walk. Yeah. Like, why is that such a hard thing to do? And so I'm totally with you. Like, I've like tried to be like, you got to just create some space throughout the day where it's just, you're not doing all these things.
Totally. Just like being with you, being by yourself. It's hard. It's something
it's so that hard.
It's so hard. I am really trying to be better at it. And it's a work in progress. That's for sure. Even yesterday on my walk, I'm like plugging in my headphones. I'm like, I'm listening to podcasts. I'm like, no, I'm taking them out. And I plug it in again. It's like, I almost feel awkward by myself. And that's sometimes to say where it's just like, I almost feel like it's definitely a mental block that I'm working on of like just trying to create more peace in my life by just being still or being in the white space. But
because you feel like you're not being productive, you're not doing something. And that's so this, I guess, ties this all back together, right? To I was talking about the goals. It's like maybe it's okay that you're just taking a break and not moving towards something at every single second all the time.
Totally. And I think something that I've tried to work on too is like redefining what productive even means. Like, can a nap be productive? Can a walk by myself, not listening to music, be productive? Like, I think they can be productive. And I'm really trying to work on like making those beliefs sink in for me, because even being pregnant, like, I feel like there's times when I need a nap and I'm like, I can't nap because instead I could be doing this, this, and this. But in reality, I'm probably more productive if I take a nap and then do those things, because then I'm doing those things with less energy. So I feel like this could be a whole podcast in and of itself too. So I'm trying not to ramble too much. I'm like, I still have more thoughts on this as well, but this whole idea is something that's probably one of my biggest goals this year, especially me jumping into motherhood soon. I'm like, I will be kind of forced to be still for a second, and
yeah,
I don't want to miss that either. Like, I don't want to have to consume so much that I miss my daughter's newborn stage. Or
I love that
childhood, you know. But
I love that. Let's make that a goal to be conscious about that, and then the next time we hop on, we'll assess how we both did.
I love this. This is good for me because this is actually a really legit goal. So I'm glad that you brought it up too. It's something that I think more people probably deal with it than we think. So we'll hold each other accountable.
And people, if anyone's listening and wants to join, then let us know.
Yeah. If anyone is still listening to this point. All right. Let's try and not make this an hour. So you're great, Herman.
Appreciate you.
Anything else want to say?
No, I don't think so. I think we're good.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.